Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a concrete echo bass wobble in Ableton Live 12, and the big goal is not just to make it sound heavy and solo, but to route it properly and arrange it so it actually works inside a drum and bass track. This is beginner-friendly, but it's still proper D&B thinking. We're aiming for that gritty, echo-heavy bass line that feels right at home in dark rollers, halftime-adjacent grooves, jungle-influenced sections, and heavier neural-leaning drops. The sound should feel solid, a little reflective, and very controlled, not dreamy, not washed out, more like a slab of bass bouncing through a tunnel. The main idea here is simple. Keep the sub clean and predictable, let the mid bass do the wobbling and talking, and use echo as a rhythmic effect, not as a giant space effect. So let's start from the top. First, create a new MIDI track and name it Bass Concrete Echo. Keeping your session organized early is a small habit that saves a lot of confusion later. Then make a 2-bar MIDI clip, that's enough to get started, and honestly, in D&B, shorter loops are often easier to refine than trying to write a whole drop immediately. For the MIDI pattern, keep it simple, use just a couple of notes, a root note on beat 1, then a note on an offbeat or the end of 2, then repeat or vary that idea in bar 2. If you're working in F minor, for example, you could hit F1 on beat 1, AB1 on the offbeat, then come back to F1 in bar 2 and add a small pickup before the loop resets. That kind of rhythm works because it leaves space for the breakbeat, and that is a huge part of drum and bass. The bass line should interlock with the drums, not crowd them out. Now let's build the actual sound. Use Waveedable if you want the most beginner-friendly workflow. You can also use Operator, but Waveedable makes this easier to hear and shape quickly. Start with a saw wave on oscillator 1. For oscillator 2, use a square or another saw, and detune it slightly. Keep unison low, maybe 2 voices max to start. You want thickness, but not a huge cloud. Set the Waveedable position somewhere around 25-40%. Put a low-pass 24 filter on it, and start with the cutoff fairly low, maybe around 120-250 Hz before modulation. Keep resonance modest, around 10-20%. If you want a tiny bit of attack bite, you can add a subtle pitch envelope, but don't overdo it. In this lesson, the movement is coming mostly from filter motion and echo. Now for the wobble. You can do this in 2 ways. The first way is inside Waveedable itself. Assign an LFO to the filter cutoff and set the rate to 1/8 or 1/4 sync to the tempo. 1/8 gives more energy. 1/4 feels a little more spacious and rolling. Use a curve shape rather than a hard square wave, and set the depth so the filter clearly moves without disappearing. If you'd rather keep it very visual and simple, place auto filter after the synth, and automate the cutoff in the arrangement or clip envelope. That's a great beginner method because you can literally see the motion on the timeline. Use low pass 24 again, add a little resonance if you want, and draw a slow wave over 1 or 2 bars. This is where the concrete echo vibe starts to appear. The wobble should feel like a heavy object being pushed through space, not a flimsy synth wobbling around aimlessly. Next, let's talk about the low end. This is really important. In D&B, it helps to think in layers. The sub should stay stable, and the mid-bass can be the part that moves and gets character. Even if you're using one instrument at first, treat them like separate jobs. A good beginner move is to duplicate the track and split it into bass sub and bass mid. On the bass sub track, keep it clean. Use a simple sine or pure low oscillator. Keep it mono. If needed, use utility to force mono. Don't add a lot of saturation here. The sub should be the anchor. On the bass mid track, this is where the wobble, grit, and echo live. High pass it around 80-120 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. That way, the low end stays solid, and the movement sits on top of it instead of muddying everything. If you want to keep it in one track for now, you can still use a Q8 to clean up the mud. Look at the 150-300 Hz area if things feel boxy, and keep an eye on the upper mids if the sound gets harsh later. Now let's add grit. Put saturator after the synth or after EQ, depending on which sounds cleaner in your chain. Start with 2-6 dB of drive and turn soft clip on. Adjust the output so you're not just making it louder. You want tone, not just volume. If you want a bit more bite, you can add drum bus slightly. A little drive can help the bass cut through breakbeats, and a small transient boost can make the hits feel more defined. Just be careful with the boom control, because too much low-end enhancement can fight the sub fast. And if the sound is getting harsh, use a Q8 to tame the problem areas. Around 2-4 kHz can get brittle, and around 700 Hz-1.2 kHz can get nasal. Small cuts go a long way. Now for the echo. This is where a lot of beginners go wrong. Echo should not be placed on the sub. Keep it off the sub completely. Put it on the mid bass only, or send the mid bass to a return track with echo on it. A good starting point is 1/8 dotted or 1/4 sync delay time. Set feedback somewhere between 15 and 35%. Keep the dry slash wet around 10 to 25%. Use echo's filter to cut the lows, maybe around 200 to 400 Hz on the low end, and shave off some top end too, around 5 to 8 kHz, depending on how bright the sound is. The point is not to make a huge wash. The point is to let the echo fill the gaps between bass hits and create tension. That's what makes it feel alive. One really useful arrangement trick is to automate the echo dry slash wet or feedback only at the end of a phrase. Keep the main section tight, then open the echo on the last bar to lead into the next loop. That gives you a clean tension move without cluttering the whole drop. At this stage, you might also want to use utility on the mid-bass to check width. The sub should stay at 0% width. The mid-bass can be a little wider, but don't go crazy. In bass music, wide low end is often a mistake. Check mono compatibility regularly. Now let's arrange it like an actual drop. Don't just loop the same two bars forever. Build an 8-bar phrase. A good beginner structure is this. Bars 1 to 4, your main motif, tight and punchy. Bars 5 to 8, repeat the idea but make one change. Maybe open the filter a bit more, maybe change one note, maybe increase echo slightly on the last hit. You can think of it as call and response. The bass answers the drums, leaves some space, then comes back stronger. That space is important. In D&B, empty space is part of the groove. If your drums have a snare on 2 and 4, try placing bass notes so they push slightly after the kick and leave room for the snare crack. Then let the echo tail sit in the gaps. That push and pull is a classic heavy roller feel. A good rule for beginners is to automate one thing that matters instead of trying to automate everything at once. For example, slowly opening the filter over the second half of the drop can do more than a bunch of tiny little changes everywhere. Now let's do a quick mix check. Ask yourself if the kick and bass are fighting in the same low band. Check whether the sub stays centered. Make sure the bass isn't masking the snare. And don't let the wobble take over the whole breakbeat. If the bass feels too huge, back off the saturation, reduce echo feedback, lower resonance, or trim the width. If it feels too small, add a bit more mid-range presence, increase contrast in the rhythm, lengthen the note slightly, or add a touch more distortion. Also, check the groove in context with the drums, not just in solo. A bass sound that feels massive by itself can be too much once the break and kick are running. Let's do a quick recap of the core workflow. Build a clean sub and a moving mid-bass. Use filter wobble for motion. Use echo for rhythmic depth, not fog. Keep the low end mono and controlled. Arrange the bass in 8-bar phrases so it evolves. And always leave room for the breakbeat and snare, because that's where the D&B groove lives. If you want to level this up further, try these ideas. Use a slightly slower wobble in the first half of the drop, then speed it up later for extra lift. Change the echo timing at the end of each phrase. Add a second quiet mid-bass layer with a different character, like one gritty and nasal and one smoother and wider. Or resample the bass to audio once you like the movement, then chop and edit it like a break. For practice, here's a simple challenge. Build a 16-bar bass drop sketch using only stock Ableton tools. Make one sub-layer and one mid-bass layer. Use one movement effect and one texture effect. Change the bass at least 3 times over 16 bars. Add one echo throw near the end of a phrase. And keep the sub clean and mono the whole time. The key idea is this. A strong drum and bass bassline is not just about sound design. It's about movement, space, routing, and arrangement. If you can make a bass wobble feel heavy, clean, and controlled, you're already thinking like a D&B producer. Nice work. Now let's keep building.